And we are now at three members of Congress announcing early departures after allegations of sexual misconduct. Representative Trent Franks, the Republican of Arizona, said last night that he would resign after the House Ethics Committee began an investigation into complaints that he asked two female staffers if they would serve as a surrogate mother for his child. Before that, Minnesota Democrat Al Franken said he'd resign after dozens of members of his own party asked him to because of allegations of sexual misconduct years ago. And Representative John Conyers announced on Tuesday he'd be retiring after 53 years in office following revelations of a settlement with one woman and allegations of sexual misconduct from others.
Let's start our look at the week there with our political roundtable. Chad Pergram covers Congress for Fox News. Hi, Chad.
Always good to be with you guys.
Great to have you. And Domenico Montanaro, NPR lead political editor, is with us as well. Hi, Domenico.
Hey, guys.
And Chad, let me start with you. How is Capitol Hill, how are Republicans reacting to these latest announcements, especially the one last night from Representative Franks, a very well-known, very conservative Republican?
Well, we got very little comment last night because members were hitting the exits. They had just passed the interim spending bill to keep the government funded and avoid a government shutdown tonight. I spoke both with Kevin McCarthy, the majority leader, and Steve Scalise, the whip on the Republican side of the aisle, and they didn't have any information at that point. It was clear in the statement from House Speaker Paul Ryan that he had been made aware of this about a week ago, had put out a statement and indicated to Trent Franks that he thought he needed to resign. Again, there seems to be this no-tolerance policy, but a lot of members of Congress are asking, is there equal application? You know, there's this question right now about Reuben Kiewan, a Democrat from Nevada, who Nancy Pelosi called last week, asked him to resign, but she let, John Conyers kind of wait a little bit. So people are saying, you know, where is the bar here? And of course, Blake Farenthold, the Republican from Texas, he remains in office at this point. And there is an ethics investigation, a formal ethics investigation looking into Congressman Farenthold now.
Well, let's listen to some of what he has to say about that. He used taxpayer money to settle a lawsuit against his office over allegations of sexual misconduct. He says he'll pay that money back. Here he is speaking to Chris Six News, an NBC affiliate in Texas, this week.
I want to be clear that I didn't do anything wrong. But I also don't want the taxpayers to be on the hook for this, and I want to be able to talk about it and fix the system without people saying, Blake, you benefited from the system. You don't have a right to talk about it or fix it.
By the way, that's probably KRIS, Six News, there in Texas. But, Domenico, to you, Farenthold hasn't faced the kind of pressure to resign that toppled Franken. Talk about the different approach to this.
Well, you know, he did settle a harassment case. Now, the ethics investigation is taking a look at it, and Speaker Ryan's office has said that they see a slightly different set of allegations here, or unsubstantiated, which is what Farenthold says anyway. So there are all of these cases, case by case, that they're all looking at. I mean, the case of Trent Franks, for example, Ryan's office was very quick to push him out, even boasting of that in a statement last night. And you have to wonder that whether or not there was more to the actual story there than just simply talking to staffers about the potential for surrogacy and what other comments were made. You know, by resigning, the ethics committee doesn't look at it because it's no longer part of the person's no longer part of Congress, and they only look at what happens when you're part of Congress. So, you know, even Kirsten Gillibrand, the senator from New York who sort of led the charge against Al Franken, said, look, this is a case-by-case basis. We don't know, the bar is being figured out as they go. And I think a lot of workplaces are dealing with that as well.
But there was clearly a strategy on the part of the Democrats, because the number of Democratic senators who came out at the same time and said it's time for Al Franken to resign. Chad, do Democrats feel that this is going to be a winning issue for them because they got Al Franken to resign over allegations when people like President Trump are still in office?
Well, I just want to jump in and point out the Quinnipiac poll this week found 70% of Americans think Congress should investigate sexual harassment allegations against the president. So to Jeremy's question, is this a strategy on the part of the Democrats?
Well, Democrats want to be on the best footing possible if they have to deal maybe with the seating coming up of Roy Moore, the Republican candidate for Senate in Alabama. That special election is Tuesday. Note that Senator Franken did not give an end date. He didn't say, I'm going to leave on this particular date. We have had other people say that they're going to resign and then not resign, most notably Larry Craig, Republican senator from Idaho, who was picked up in a sexting in the Minnesota airport bathroom several years ago. You have had other members resign conditionally. David Wu, who is a Democratic congressman from Oregon and also got caught in a sex scandal. He said he would resign later in 2011 after they finished with the debt ceiling. But that was the interesting thing. It seemed like there was one more allegation, just one too many allegations regarding Al Franken, and the dam broke. I thought it was interesting when I spoke with Mazie Hirono, who's a Democratic senator from Hawaii, and she indicated that she had a statement prepared, past tense. In other words, she was kind of waiting to see if what happened here. And if Moore wins, some people here at the Capitol, and we have no evidence to this, but there's a lot of chatter. There was one member of the Minnesota delegation who said, I'm worried that Al Franken won't resign because if Roy Moore is, in fact, elected next week, he might say, well, I'll step aside when Roy Moore steps aside.
Yeah. Well, that's fascinating. But you mentioned Roy Moore. The National Republican Committee gave its financial support back to him this week after President Trump endorsed him. He's, of course, been accused by 9 women, one of as young as 14. Here you're speaking at a rally in Fairhope, Alabama.
See, what I think they're afraid that I'm going to take Alabama values to Washington. And I want to tell you, I can't wait.
Domenico, so we just heard Chad's, the chatter that Chad is hearing that perhaps the Democrats are waiting to see if Roy Moore wins to make another chess move there. But analysts are saying Roy Moore is taking a page from the Trump playbook, you know, accusations against him and just plowing on, and he might have the same success.
Well, it's kind of what else can he do, you know? I mean, he's just sort of taking from the Trump playbook of saying, you know, if you just say it, people will believe it, which, half the country does and half the country doesn't in the partisan atmosphere that we live in. I think Democrats are trying to take the moral high ground by forcing out Franken and by forcing out John Conyers of Michigan, especially ahead of that election in Alabama. The poll that you mentioned about 70% of the country looking at wanting Congress to investigate the allegations against President Trump, overwhelmingly Democrats said so, 86%. Two-thirds of independents said so, 66%. Only 39% of Republicans, though, said that they believed that Congress should investigate these allegations against President Trump. And that's the kind of world we live in at this point.
Keep in mind here that this is also not necessarily, Roy Moore taking from President Trump's playbook here. Roy Moore was doing this sort of thing long before when he was on the state Supreme Court in Alabama and running there. You know, we have another emerging, topic on this. Beverly Young Nelson, who is one of the Roy Moore accusers, said this morning that she added the inscription in the yearbook. And now this is a crack in her story. She's not recanting
the story. Explain that. There are two women who have come forward with yearbooks and said that Roy Moore, when he was in his 30s, signed their yearbooks when they were just teens. And so what is she saying?
Right. She's saying that she added the inscription. There was some question about the date as to when this may have been signed. And so when did she do that? That's a question. And of course, the Moore folks will see this as a crack in her story and gives them a chance to attack her and attack her credibility.
Well, and we heard from Roy Moore. Let's hear from Doug Jones, who's the Democrat who's running in the race. Here he is at a rally in Montgomery this week talking about supporting women.
I believe they deserve equal pay for equal work, and I damn sure believe that I have done my part to ensure that men who hurt little girls should go to jail and not the United States Senate.
By the way, a program note, we will be broadcasting from Birmingham, Alabama on Monday. I'm heading down there this weekend. But Domenico, is it possible that Doug Jones could win this race?
Sure, certainly possible. And I think about 3 weeks ago, Democrats were more hopeful that that was going to happen. Polling has been all over the place in the state, and it's really not something you can pay much attention to. This is a state that certainly favors Republicans, certainly favors President Trump. He's did very well there. This is as red a state as it gets. Jones, though, because he's tried to be a little more centrist and because of these allegations against Moore, a lot of people expect a pretty close race.
Chad, we only have a minute here. We've got so much going on. The government shutdown has been averted for a couple of weeks. Republicans trying to hash out a final version of their tax plan. The investigation into Russian interference in the election goes on. Give me one thing in the minute we have you're looking for next week.
Well, how do they keep the government open by December 22nd? The House passed that interim spending bill 235 to 193. There were 18 Republican no votes on that bill. Had they had one more, they wouldn't have been able to carry the freight on their own on the Republican side of the aisle and would have needed Democratic votes. They did it on their own. Now, it depends what the next spending bill looks like. And this is where Democrats are saying, if you can't provide the votes, even though you're in the majority, you're going to have to come to us. And that's where Luis Gutierrez, a Democratic congressman from Illinois, is saying, I'm not responsible for the Republican dysfunction here. If you want to do this on your own, fine, deliver 218 votes. If not, we need a DACA fix attached to this piece of legislation.
So it's going to be another exciting Christmas time to be in the news business.
What a present.
Chad Pergram, who covers Congress at Fox News, and Domenica Montanaro, NPR lead political editor. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thanks,
You're
guys.
Welcome.